Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. This is Tux Lurzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
On the threes and fours.
Oh.
I don't know.
No.
No, what, never.
No.
Not now, not never.
Thank you. It's the twos and the threes that's like extra upsetting.
Yeah.
Or the ones and the threes. Some people don't have rhythm.
Yes.
Is what you need to know.
Yes. True story.
And also you've gathered that.
Yes. You live in America.
Yeah.
We come to you from Bushwick, Brooklyn, where we record on land belonging to the Lenape Nation, a nation that is one of many still very much out here doing its thing. And we would like to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Today, this is the mini-sode where we talk about whatever the hell we want.
Just doing our own thing.
We ain't got no format.
Nope.
But we do be drinking.
Always.
And we do be swearing.
Sure fucking do.
Mm-hmm.
What you gonna do about it? Huh?
Bad boys, bad boys.
No!
There's a thing in The Simpsons where the show is called Bad Cops.
Oh, bad yeah.
Bad Cops.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's just Chief Wiggum and his antics.
Mm-hmm. Magical.
Yeah, so this mini-sode, it's a continuation of last week's episode when I talked about Bacon's Rebellion.
Can't wait.
Yeah, the fabrication of race as a social wedge between poor people and how that was done just to maintain ruling class power.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have not listened to episode 45, hit pause, give it a listen, take a moment to let it hit you.
Yeah, wash over you.
Yeah, it's important.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally the foundation. So in last week's episode, I mentioned that the institution of slavery didn't start like in the beginning as a way to deal with what they considered a labor crisis.
Mm-hmm.
The system was kind of open, kind of fluid. There was a mixing and a mingling. Blackness hadn't yet been like conjured into being
mm-hmm.
as this hereditary form of slavery. That would come in the late 1600s because of Bacon's Rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So this colonial foundation, it is undeniable, and yet it is something that is being fiercely and I think belligerently like debated.
Sure.
In media, like it's something that can be debated. It's garbage.
Flaming garbage.
These people, they don't deny that chattel slavery happened, but they're very quick to downplay its significance and like historical importance for Black Americans back yeah. then and even today.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, no, it's in the past. We've dealt with that according to Dan Quayle.
Mm-hmm.
But the institution of slavery, it fucked white people up as well.
Yeah.
Like it gave them this like internalized superiority that I think is one of the most violent and dangerous parts of American culture.
Yeah.
That kids are growing up thinking that they're internalizing that they can do whatever they want to someone as long as they don't look or think like them.
Mm-hmm.
They might become like a hero after the fact.
Yeah.
We're seeing now.
Yeah. Look at Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah.
He's like being invited everywhere.
Everywhere. He's a celebrity.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. But the mini today is about a man who came up in my research, who I later learned was a right-wing talking point.
Mm.
They love this man. They can't get enough of him. I learned about him through Howard Zinn's A People's History of the United States.
Okay.
He mentioned this man, and also I found another website called Facing History and Ourselves. All the info will be in the show notes. It's a really, really great site for educators and just students, people who want to learn real history. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a lot of information about the Holocaust.
Oh.
Because, you know, people just like to kind of gloss over historical injustices.
Well, didn't you know that being mildly inconvenienced yeah. in any way is the same thing as being a Jew in Germany in the 1940s? Being asked to wear a mask is exactly literally
oh,
the same
so
thing.
That is so despicable.
As being sent to a concentration camp and slowly starved to death.
It's so much, yeah. But that's what they say because we don't learn real history.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Johnson is the man that I'm talking about today. He is infamous in white supremacist circles. There are all these like horrible, like really shitty memes of him in like, you know, just racist pockets of the internet. They love him despite the fact that he's African.
Oh.
But they love a token.
Sure, of
Negro.
Course.
That's their favorite. The only Negro they like is a token one.
Anyone that will justify what they already believe,
yep.
that will parrot what they're already saying.
Yeah, or do what they've already done for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he, and I'm glad that you're seated for this, he, according to them, was the first owner of an enslaved person in colonial Virginia.
Okay. Huh.
Huh is right.
Okay.
So it really, it kind of pains me that I have to say that this is untrue.
Uh-huh.
And like, deeply misleading. Like, what?
I'll just sit back and wait for you to tell me that this is wrong. But even if it were true, that doesn't mean that the entire system of chattel slavery is like totally fine because a black man.
They love doing shit like this. Like when I was researching the Trail of Tears, this is something I took out of my outline.
Yeah.
White supremacists love talking about how the five eye roll civilized tribes also exploited kidnapped African labor.
Mm-hmm. Forgetting to mention the fact that it was done differently.
Totally differently.
From the way white people were doing
totally
slavery.
Differently. More similar to how slavery was practiced in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't this like life sentence. Like it was a way for poor people to just work up through, I guess, I don't know, to rise above one station.
Mm-hmm.
It was
indentured servitude.
That's exactly what it was.
Well, and which is another thing that conservatives love to use, the fact that in Africa, Africans were selling other Africans into slavery, but they didn't realize that it wasn't going to be the same form of slavery that they had.
Wildly
there.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back then, like usually the person who was enslaved, it was like a contract.
Yeah.
You were enslaved for a period of time and often they married into the family.
Yeah.
And like got land from, you know, their former, like, I guess, employer.
Yeah. These are all subtle nuances that nobody actually wants to reveal or think about when they're just trying to prove their own
points. I mean, the right is very good at propaganda.
Yeah.
They'll sprinkle just like enough truth.
Yeah. Like Salt Bay.
Yeah. Enough like facts. Enough fact to just like obscure the truth of the situation.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can say something that is patently untrue using facts that make it feel.
Or just a fact.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like one thing and then you leave out things that are inconvenient, which is this is my story today.
Yeah.
Johnson was one of the few, like very few black landowners in colonial Virginia in the 17th century.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no wonder that these people are using his very unique story to just like morph it into this really manipulative talking point.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is true.
Okay.
It is true, but it's not true because they leave out a lot. So they also say that he was not an enslaved man, which he was. They say that he was a colonist. That was sold by not white people, but by Arab slave traders. Like,
what?
Like they just couldn't help themselves. They mm-hmm. had to like sprinkle in some Islamophobia as well. Arabs did this. Don't you know?
Don't you remember?
All the Arabs here.
Yeah.
Enslaving Africans. Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mess. It gets all the Pinocchios because it's not, it's like not even, it's like a head scratcher. It's so confusing almost. So there is this long history of white people downplaying the injustices of slavery and just, you know, how it was practiced in this country. They're always just quick to point at others. Just like, look, the natives are doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Look, this one black man did it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into it. Anthony Johnson was kidnapped from West Africa in 1621.
Okay.
He was enslaved by an English family in Virginia. In 1640, he married a woman named Mary, who was also enslaved.
Okay.
And then they started a family. He somehow obtained his freedom in 1651. It's not clear how he did this. It was very rare for slavers to just like let their enslaved person go.
Mm-hmm.
What was more common was that enslaved people would be allowed to farm like a portion of their owner's land and sell those crops and save that money and buy their own freedom. So people suspect that Johnson did that.
Sure.
There isn't information about how he obtained his freedom, but historians speculate that that's what he did, because that's like how slavery was practiced in Africa.
Yeah.
Like you could either buy your freedom or just eventually you're not bound for life.
Mm-hmm.
Being enslaved was like a starting place. It was not like this final destination. It was not this generational thing. How his story got big was that in 2010, Glenn Beck talked about Johnson on his show. This is a quote. he said that he owned the first state-sponsored slave in American history.
State-sponsored?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So after Johnson gained his freedom, he did what other people did. He bought some land, he hired some servants, and eventually he would obtain legal ownership for life over an African man named John Kasser.
Okay.
So that, they're using that document, because this is like a court document. It has like his name, Anthony Johnson, and like this man's name, John Kasser. Glenn Beck is saying this is the first instance of this happening, which is just patently false. In the same episode, Beck, he used this air quote fact to prove that slavery is a human problem, not a white condition or a black condition. So people want to believe that slavery, especially how it was practiced in this country, was just an economic thing, and it was not.
Yeah.
It was white supremacy, it was racist, it was dehumanizing, like all these things together with the economics. It wasn't just economics.
Sure.
Led to the condition that we had in this country. Mm-hmm. But Glenn Beck was using this as like, oh, this is just what you did to like gain status. Mm-hmm. Like it's not just a white thing. This is just what industrious people do. Kind of thing.
I mean, we've said this before. I've said this in the episode that I did on the history of policing. Mm-hmm. A black or brown person can benefit from a white supremacist system.
Absolutely. You can participate in it and you can benefit it from it if you're not white. Like, it is a system.
Yeah, that doesn't mean the system is no longer white supremacist just because a black person benefits from it.
Look at you with your facts. So I feel like this is a good time to take a little break, to cleanse ourselves of Glenn Beck and his racist lies.
Yeah, just hearing that name, I need to go take a shower real quick.
Yeah, this was 2010. This was like the height of Obama. He was in his feelings and just like tossing red meat to his followers.
Okay, BRB.
Yes.
Hey, this is Brandon from Peculiar Picture Show, the podcast that talks about movies, maladies, and mental health.
And this is Maria, also from that podcast.
So we were wondering, do you like movies? Do you like mental health?
Oh boy, do I ever, Brandon.
Well then, I've got a podcast for you. Peculiar Picture Show is the podcast for you because it is about movies and mental health.
That's right. We use movies to talk about mental health issues like borderline personality disorder, social issues like systemic racism, and other things.
Like how bad Shakespeare in Love was.
Yeah, sometimes we just talk about how bad the movie is.
And we really talked about that one. But sometimes we have games. Maria used to be a teacher, and so she loves to quiz people.
I really do.
So check us out online at peculiarpicture.show. That's our website, and you can stream all episodes there.
Or you can find us on any major podcast channel.
So again, in my episode last week, I did talk about the first man who was enslaved for life in this country. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the story about three indentured servants that ran away together?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. So in 1640, there were two European indentured servants who ran away with an African indentured servant. Mm-hmm. They were caught, and the Europeans were sentenced to 4 more years of service. Mm-hmm. And the man, his name was John Punch, he was sentenced in 1640 to be enslaved for life.
Okay.
He is the first instance of this slavery for life.
Yes.
And this was 10 years. This was while Anthony Johnson was still enslaved himself.
But was it state sponsored?
I don't even know what that means. Yeah. Well, they weren't even states then. This was colonial Virginia. Again, we're trying to make sense out of nonsense. Yeah. So this is happening over a decade before Johnson gained his own freedom. You know, but facts are stupid and memes are easy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And racism is just more fun for Glenn Beck's audience. They don't want to hear real history.
I just love...
They'd be upset by it.
That they don't want to be told that racism doesn't exist. They just want to be told that racism isn't a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not a problem.
It's not a problem.
So they can keep being racist.
Keep doing it. Yeah. Keep doing what they're doing. Back to the Johnsons. They were just, you know, living their black ass life, minding their beeswax when a random fire ripped through their house.
Okay.
And they lost most of their plantation. So they did what most like upstanding people at this time, anyone with property, they had rights. Mm-hmm. So they went to the courts in 1653 when this happened and they asked for some help. Okay. Or like, we just had a spell of bad luck. Like, is there something that you could do to help us out? And because they were, this is like from the court documents, inhabitants in Virginia above 30 years who were respected for their hard labor and known service, The court helped them.
Wow.
They waived this Virginia law that required all free Negro men and women to pay special taxes. They waived that for his wife and his two daughters. Only Negro people had to pay this special tax. So in a way, they were like extending white supremacy to his wife and his two daughters. Anthony still had to pay that tax. But that relief from tax allowed the family to save and rebuild after the fire. So historians T.H. Breen and Stephen Innes, they wrote a book called Mine Own Ground, Race and Freedom on Virginia's Eastern Shore. They talked about the success of the Johnsons and others around this time. They wrote, this is a quote, "The foundation of liberty in mid-century Northampton for whites as well as blacks was property. Without land and livestock, without the means to support a family, no one could sustain freedom. Property gave men rights before the law. It provided them with an independent identity that translated into a feisty self-confidence in face-to-face contacts. Indeed, in this rudimentary social system in which people placed extreme emphasis upon personal independence, upon material gain, and upon aggressive competition, property became the only clear measure of another man's worth. And while the great planters of the Eastern Shore exploited dependent laborers, they also recognized the prerogative of almost everyone, to take part in the scramble for wealth. It had not yet occurred to them to cut the Johnsons and other people of African descent out of the game." Mm-hmm. They'd be cut out soon enough, though.
Yeah, it's wild to me that that time even existed.
Same.
Yeah.
Same. Yeah.
I mean, they were still making them pay a special tax just for being...
It's almost like it was coming.
Yeah.
But yeah. But it existed.
Yeah.
It's that like brief window where they're just like, yeah, yeah. Anyone who can follow the rules can, you know, get lucky.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Yeah. So... Despite or perhaps because of the success of Anthony Johnson and others like him of African descent, Virginia's laws started to change in the 1660s, as we know. Mm-hmm. In the spring of 1670, Johnson died and he left 50 acres of land to one of his sons. This was before Bacon's Rebellion. That August, an all-white jury ruled that the colony could seize the son's inheritance because he was a Negro and by consequence an alien. So they had already written laws in 1670 that just stripped generational wealth from black people. So just like that, the wealth of Johnson's family went to a white neighbor, and white supremacists, they leave this out as well. Mm-hmm. Glenn Beck was not talking about this, what happened to him in the end, because that's inconvenient, that fact. The end.
Wow. This country. I don't know. It's home.
It is. I feel thankful that it's sad that I am like late 30s, just learning like the foundational history of this country, but most people don't know this.
No. And we have said this countless times, but it's important to know these things if we ever want to reckon with them and move forward.
We have to reckon with them to move forward.
Just the idea that that story is being used as a right-wing talking point, though.
Oh my God.
Is so asinine.
It's despicable.
But yeah, you're picking and choosing which parts of the story that you want to actually. But that's, you know, that's like how they use the Bible to justify whatever they want. You just pick and choose the parts that you want to listen to and pretend that the rest of it doesn't exist.
And I think memes are especially like insidious because they travel so fast.
And there's no way to.
People aren't looking into them.
There's no way to attach source information to a meme.
Yeah. And especially like older people who want to believe this so bad with like every fiber of their being. They're seeing something that confirms, like it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
It gets that emotion up. And they pass it on to all their friends, and this it becomes like their truth.
I saw a meme the other day that was like, I think it was like a screen capture of a tweet.
Okay.
That was like, there were white abolitionists in this country too. And
of course.
Why do you think teaching children about slavery and abolitionists that you and your children would identify with the enslavers and not the abolitionists?
Oh, yikes. I know.
Why do you not want children to learn about enslavers and abolitionists because you would identify with the enslavers.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way. But yeah, it's like they know how they are,
yeah,
but at the same time, they don't. They want to deny it.
That's exactly what this,
y'all
this
need is therapy, saying,
is that like, okay? You know who you are and you know what you believe today. And if you had the power to enslave black people, you would do it in a fucking heartbeat.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be on the side of the abolitionists, which is why you don't identify with the abolitionists in history.
Yeah. Toni Morrison is just, I mean, she's so... such a thought leader when it comes to race. She did some interview, 60 Minutes or something. She's talking about how there's something so fundamentally wrong with someone who only feels strong when someone's on their knees.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot of white America, sadly.
Yeah.
And they want to teach that to their kids. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, and they want to avoid letting their children learn anything that doesn't reinforce what they want their kids to believe, which is what this whole fight against critical race theory is all about. It's just history. It's not critical race theory. It has nothing to do with critical race
theory. But it's just hysteria.
But this has always been how education has been run in this country, is trying to avoid things that you don't want your kids to feel bad about.
Yeah. Like in the 70s, they didn't want like gay teachers in schools. They didn't want people who weren't part of the heteronormative like paradigm that we have. Like just knowing that they existed would be too much for the, for little Johnny. Like what? You don't want your kids to know about the world that they live in? But yeah, no, you don't. You don't.
Exactly.
The answer is no, you don't.
And because bottom line, they don't want their kids to know that there's any other way to live their lives but the way that their parents live.
But now that the world is so open with media and how global everything is, the cat is out of the bag, y'all. Like,
and you can fight against it all you want. There's people still have access.
Yeah.
Whether they're learning it in a school book or on the internet. But that is a double-edged sword, too, because they could also go the other way and fall down like some QAnon rabbit hole.
And especially kids are very vulnerable to just believing in anything because they're like logical centers of their brain aren't fully developed until they're 25. I remember like thinking that a squirrel crawled up Richard Gere's ass because some kid told... Do you remember this one?
No.
Oh, there was this weird urban myth that Richard Gere had to go to the hospital because there was a squirrel in his butt.
Not a hamster?
Oh, maybe it was a hamster. Oh, you're right. It was a hamster.
Yeah.
It was a fucking hamster. You're right.
Now it all makes...
No, but like as a kid, we thought that was true.
Yeah.
I never even questioned it.
Well, that's because that is like a thing that... Well, it's like a sex thing that I'm sure that Richard Gere is not actually doing this, but I also don't think it's nearly as common as people wanted to believe it was. It's just funny.
And there were other little urban myths
like
that were going around.
Thank the Lord we have the internet to be able to be like, beep, boop, bop. No, that's not fucking true.
Snopes, help me out on this.
Yeah, exactly. But also, if children are not being taught any kind of real history and they're not being taught about critical thinking in school, they're much more likely to fall down a rabbit hole.
When you're talking about this and children, I'm just thinking, my sister sent me this like thing on TikTok. She is like Miss like Message Board. Okay. And I don't know if this is like a product of her having kids and like just always asking kind of weird questions about things. She's like paranoid that she's going to get kidnapped, which I think is hilarious because you are 36. No one's trying to get you. I'm sorry.
To do what with you?
So she saw this thing on TikTok where they throw an egg at your car and that's like how they kidnap you, because if you put on your windshield wiper, then you can't see and you have to stop. And that's how they kidnapped you into sexual slavery. I'm like, I'm sorry. This is not real. We all have Snopes. She sent me this shit yesterday. I went to Snopes. I mean, I already knew it was garbage, but I went to Snopes. I sent this back to her. She's like, oh, I didn't know. I didn't think to look it up.
There's so grown-ass many
grown-ass adults
like
aren't thinking to look this up.
Yeah, I remember being told as a teenager, if you're driving and somebody doesn't have their headlights on, not to flash them.
Yes, not to flash them.
Because if you flash them, then someone's you're a target. It's not based in anything.
No.
But this was also when the internet was in its infancy and you didn't have a way to look things up.
Mm-hmm. That shit's still going around and people... Even though we have Gore's internet,
we're acting the algorithm.
Yeah, is that from Unbreakable?
Yeah, Al Gore rhythm.
That's so funny.
Yes.
Yeah, even though we have the tools at our disposal to just Google things that seem unbelievable. Even when I read like a real article, like in The Atlantic, and there's like a link, yeah. I'm like, let me check out and see what this link actually means.
Yeah, it's extra work. When if it already confirms what you want to believe already.
But it's going to calm you down.
Yeah.
Like you shouldn't be afraid.
People like to be riled you're right. up, especially if it's about something that they're already angry about or worried
about. Or afraid about.
Yeah. This conversation
is devolved. Oh my God. We went off the rails.
Yes, we sure did. Well, yeah. Thank you for telling that. I am slightly...
You're going to watch out for eggs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
These are things that we need to know so that we can... When I see somebody try and post this fucking stupid meme, I can shut it down instantly.
Yeah.
Now.
Arab slave traders, get the fuck out of here. It's like now you're not even making it believable.
Yeah. Jedediah bin Laden was over, like...
Totally.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Totally. They're creative, I guess. We can give them that.
It was the Saudis.
Totally.
What? Okay. thank you so much for listening to Beyond Reproach. Yes. This has been Tux Lurzel.
And Stephanie Domingo.
Thank you to Tim Clough, our editor, sound engineer, and podfather. We couldn't do this without him.
Would not.
Yes. Okie doke. Bye.
Bye.
Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn, on land belonging to the Lenape Nation. Please note that we are not historians. We're just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. A full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. And remember that written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone who you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media, and make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves, and we have exclusive content on Patreon where you can directly support the production of our show.